We continue now with Maseches Beitza, Daf Tes Amud Aleph. We're going to begin Ches Amud Beis on the bottom of the Daf, one line from the bottom of the page, Amar Rabba. The Gemara is going to now continue with another din related to Kisui Adam and Yomtif. Amar Rabba, Shochat Tzipor Meir of Yomtif, in Lechasen Ozdom of Yomtif. If a person goes ahead and shechts a bird on Erev Yomtif, he does not do the Kisui on Yomtif. Says Rashi, Dohoilo Lechasos Mibod Yom, because really, he should have done the Kisui Adam on Erev Yomtif. And if you're concerned, wait a second, we are going to be preventing this individual from being able to achieve Simchas Yomtif by preventing him from doing the Kisui, thereby forbidding him from eating the bird? Leka, that's not true. Because the halach is that even if the Kisui Adam has not been done, that does not prevent the person from being able to proceed by eating the bird. It does not pasul the shechita. And so therefore, Rabbi says, really, this person should have done the Kisui Adam on Erev Yomtif. When you do the shechita on Yomtif itself, so obviously you can't do the Kisui before the shechita, but if you did the shechita on Erev Yomtif, you should not have waited, and we are not going to permit you at this time to do the Kisui on Yomtif. However, continues Rabbi, Gilgel Isam Erev Yomtif, if a person prepares dough from before Yomtif, mafrish mimena chalosa be Yomtif. He may separate chal on Yomtif. Rashi points out that although we're going to learn later on this masechta that it is prohibited to be mafish, trumas, and maisos, to separate different types of portions for the kohen on yomtif, this is permissible. Because really, lechatchila, one is permitted to go ahead and to knead dough on yomtif. This is one of the permissible melachos on yomtif, mishum ochel nefesh. And obviously, in that case, one would need to be mafish chala subsequently. So over here, if you prepare the dough from before yomtif, you may still go ahead and be mafish the chala on yomtif. However, says the Gemara, avua de Shmuel omar afil gilgalis meir of yomtif, ein mafish memena chalasa be yomtif. Avua de Shmuel disagrees. Shmuel's father said, even in the case where a person goes ahead and he prepares the dough on Erev Yomtif, he may not go ahead and be mafish chala on Yomtif. Explains Rashi, delo hitiru lahafish chala elab isoshe nizgal gil be Yomtif. The only time Chazal were matir one to be mafish chala on Yomtif, that's when you're talking about an isa, a batter of dough that was prepared on Yomtif itself. But this should have been taken care of before Yomtif, just like a person would separate his other produce in order to make the appropriate hafrashos of Truma and Maiser. Continues the Gemara, Lema pliga de Shmuel ad Avua. Maybe based on this ruling of Avua de Shmuel, we could say that Shmuel actually argues with his father, the Amar Shmuel, because Shmuel is taught elsewhere, Chalas chutz la'aretz, regarding the obligation to be mafrish chala outside of Israel, ochel v'holech, v'yachakach mafrish. A person can continue to eat from the bread that was baked, and then he can go ahead and separate chala afterwards. In other words, explains Rashi, according to Shmuel, it is not the hafrasha which renders the bread edible. It is edible beforehand. You can continue to eat it, and only leave something over at the end, and that will be your challah. So it would seem, therefore, that Shmuel argues with his father. Why so? So Rashi explains as follows. What is the reason why it is prohibited to go ahead and be mafish trumas and maisos, or in this case, mafish challah? This is a form of tikkun. This is something where you are literally fixing or perfecting or rendering something usable, because beforehand it was halachically prohibited. Conceptually, it's not all that different than the concept of makah bepatish. One of the 39 melachos, literally delivering a hammer blow, means taking something that is unusable, that is unfit for use, and going ahead and fixing it, doing something which makes it then functional, because it wasn't functional beforehand. That's the concept of makah bepatish. So by extension, Chazal say, to go ahead and be mafish, trumas, and maisos, you're taking something which is tevel, something which is halachically unusable, it's unfit, and by being mafish, trumas, and maisos, so I'm rendering it now usable. In a sense, I'm being mesakein, I'm fixing it. So how do we view challah? So the fact that Shmuel says, when it comes to challah's chutzlarts, ochel v'holeich v'achakach mafish, you can continue to eat and separate challah with whatever's left at the end, that shows you that the hafrasha is not misakin isa. The separating is not really fixing it. It was really, quote-unquote, fixed beforehand. And so therefore, it seems that Shmuel's ruling, where he says, ochel v'holeich v'achakach mafish, In contrast, this would be in disagreement with his father's ruling, who says that when you are Megalgal Isa Be'er V'yomtif, you cannot be Mafrish Chalosa B'yomtif. But the Gemara concludes with Rava, who says not necessarily so. Amar Rava, Milo Modesh Shmuel Shimkara Leshem Shasur Lazarim. Says Rashi, Afa Pisha Inut Sarach LaHafrisha. Even though you're right, according to Shmuel, it's not necessary to do the Safrasha before him. Shimkara Leshem. But if you go ahead and you do the Hafrasha, and you therefore designate this particular piece as Chala, Shechala Leshem Chala, that there is now going to be a name of Chala that is a doubt upon this piece of bread. V'asur lazarim, and therefore it's going to be consequently prohibited for anyone who is not a Kohen to eat this. Alma, we see from here, shame truma aleh, that there's a shame truma. It has a status, a designation of being truma, v'isa b'chlal in magin trumas ma'isus b'yavtif. It is therefore included in this category of prohibited activities of ein magbiyin trumas ma'isus b'yamtif. So as we explain later on, we're going to see there's a general prohibition of being mafish truma and ma'isus and yamtif, and this is all because it's a form of tikkun. So even though it's true, says Rava, that according to Shmuel, you could be ochav holech v'achakach mafish, but we can't say necessarily that according to Shmuel, there's no tikkun whatsoever. Because the reality is, when you go ahead and you're mafish chala, that piece is now called challah, and it's asur lazarim. It's going to be prohibited for anybody who's not a kohen to partake of it. So obviously there is a certain tikkun, there's a certain transformation that takes place when you do this, and therefore Shmuel would still say would perhaps still agree with his father that even in case of Gilgal and Sbiyar v'yamtif, that you cannot be mafrish chalos v'yamtif. The Gemara now continues with the next Mishnah. The first Mishnah we studied on Daf Beis Amud Aleph has been the subject of our discussion until now. And now, on Tes Amud Aleph, about 7 lines from the top of the page, the Gemara now presents with another machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel regarding the laws of Yomtif. Beis Shammai Yomrim, Ein Molichin Es Asula Mishovel Choshovach, Ava Matei Mechalon Nacholon, Beis Hillel Matirin. According to Beis Shammai, one may not take a ladder from one dovecote to another dovecote on Yomtif, Ava Matei Mechalon Nacholon. However, it is permissible to go ahead and to tilt this ladder from one opening in the shovach, in this dovecote, to another one. Rashi explains over here that the assumption is right now that within the same dovecote you have different small windows, a little pigeonhole, in which there are sets of pigeons, and it is permissible to go ahead and to tilt the ladder from one to another, but to actually go ahead and carry, to move the ladder from one shovach to another, that's prohibited. But Beis Hillel Matirin, Beis Hillel say no, it's permissible to even go ahead and carry the ladder from one dovecote to another. So the Gemara is now going to begin by discussing this machlokas and give us greater clarity as to what exactly Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel are arguing. So Amar Reb Chanan Bar Ami. So Reb Chanan Bar Ami says the machlokas b'rishus harabim. The machlokas between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel is talking about a case where it is a rishus harabim, which means that it is an area which is a public area, and so therefore we're concerned that people will see what he's doing. The Beis Shammai savri haroe omer lahatiach gaga hutzarech. The Beis Shammai is concerned that a person who sees this person carrying a ladder from one shovach to another is going to assume that he's doing it lahatiach gago. Says Rashi, lahatiach, so you talking gago say in betit. They used to go ahead and cover their rooftops with plaster. The rooftops were not sloped, they were flat. They used to use it as a place to work. They used to go ahead and plaster it so that they would be able to create somewhat of a slope, thereby redirecting the water from the rooftops so it could be drained properly. The bottom line is, it was common for people to need a ladder in order to renovate, in order to maintain their rooftops properly. And Beis Shammai says the reason why you cannot carry a ladder from one shovach to another is because we're talking about a rishus harabim, and we're concerned that people are going to misunderstand what you're doing and going to assume that you are being mechalel yamtif, because obviously to go ahead and to cover the rooftop with plaster on yamtif, so that would be a melacha d'oraisa of binyan. That would be a form of building which would definitely be asur on yamtif. Beis Hillel, however, according to Rav Chanan, disagrees. Beis Hillel will say, even though it's a rishus harabim, The fact that you are using the ladder of a shovach, it's special for that need, for that purpose. So muchiach lav, that proves that you're not doing it in order to fix your roof. If you were using it to plaster your roof, so you would have a special ladder. But you're using what? A ladder that is specifically used by the shovach, and that's where you are. And so therefore, Bishilo says there's no concern of marasayin. However, according to Rav Chana bar Ami, both according to Bisham and Biz Hillel, if it's a Birishus HaYochid, if it's a private area where people are unlikely to see what you're doing anyway, so Divri HaKol Mutter, everybody's going to agree that it is permissible. So essentially, according to Rav Chanan, the machlokus between Bisham and Biz Hillel is not really fundamentally as to whether or not you can or cannot move the ladder on Yom Tif. It's a question of Marasayin. Bishamai says that you can't move the ladder because we're worried what people are going to think. It's going to look like you're doing something else, and therefore it's going to be usur. And it's for that reason why Bishamai will say that if it's Rosh Hashanah Yachid, where people are not standing and not likely to see you anyway, that it is permissible. But the Gemara now challenges this position of Chanan. And the Gemara says, Eini, is this true? Vamar Rav Yehuda Marav, did Rav Yehuda not teach the name of Rav? Kol makum she'asur chachamim b'nei marasayin. Whenever the chachamim made a specific prohibition because they were concerned about what it may look like and that your actions would be misleading and be misunderstood and misinterpreted by others, so afilu b'chadri chadarim asur. It is prohibited even b'chadri chadarim, meaning even in the most private areas, most private chambers of your house, we would have thought that something which is asur mishumas marasayin is going to be permitted in the confines of your own home. You close the door, you shut the windows. So anything that is asur mishum marasayin should be permissible over here because there's no one to observe. The problem is that Rabbi Yehuda taught in the name of Rav that anything that is asur mishum marasayin is asur everywhere afilu b'chadrei chadarim. So how then could it be that Rav Chanan says that the machlokes b'sham b'is Hillel is only rishus harabim because people are likely to see you, but it's a rishus hayachid, it's okay. What do you mean? Rav taught that anything that is asur mishum marasayin is asur afilu b'chadrei chadarim. So it shouldn't make a difference at all whether it's a rishus harabim or rishus hayachid. So says the Gemara, this position of Rav is actually a machlokas tanoim. Tanoihi, this is a subject of dispute among the tanoim. The Tanya, we learn in the Braisa, shotchon b'chama, which means if a person's clothing becomes soaked, he's walking home from shul and it becomes soaked in the rain on Shabbos, so he can go ahead and spread them in the sun in order to dry on Shabbos. Avalo k'neged ha'am. But he may not do so in an area which is highly visible by other people. It says Rashi shelo yomru, that people shouldn't say, covers him to Shabbos. Then he went ahead and he washed them. He's laundering his clothing on Shabbos. Alma, you see that midi the mishumaris ayin mutar b'makom tzanua. You see that according to the Tanakhama, something that is asur mishumaris ayin is permissible in a private area. It's only keneged ha'am that it is prohibited. Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, osur. However, we see that Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon say no, that even in a private area, it is still going to be prohibited. So we see that this question of whether or not marasayin is limited to a public area, or it's usur even b'chadrei chadarim, even in a makam tzanua, so this is a machlokes in this brisa. The Tanakhama says there's only prohibition in public, but not in private. Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Shimon say no, even in private. So it could be that the machlokes between Rav and Rav Chanan over here is a machlokes tanoim. So Rav Chanan can argue that in fact Beishamai says that something is usur mishum marasayin only in public, but it would be permissible in a private place. That's just like the shita of the Tanakam over here in this Braisa. Rav, who says, Kol makom she'asur chacham mishum harasayin, afilu b'chadrei chadarim asur. Anything which is asur mishum harasayin, you cannot do even in private. So Rav's following the position of Rav Elazar and Rav Shimon that say that when it comes to marasayin, we do not differentiate at all between the particular area in which you are found. Anything that is asur mishum harasayin is going to be prohibited no matter where you are standing. The Gemara now presents an alternate reading of the Gemara. Ika di Amri, Om Rav Chanan bar Ami. Rav Chanan bar Ami, again, who presented the first way to qualify the Mishnah initially, is now presented in somewhat of a different way. Rav Chanan bar Ami says the following, Machlokes b'rishas hayachid. The whole machlokes between Beisham and Hillel in our Mishnah is only in Rishas hayachid. The Beisham I islu the Rav Yehuda Merav, because Beisham I agree with the Rav Yehuda Merav, who says that anything which is also Mishum Arasayin, afilu b'chadrei chadarim asur, and therefore Beishamai say it's asur in Rishus HaYachid, u'Beis Hillel less l'Rav Yehuda Merav. Beis Hillel disagree, and they say that something which is Asim Meshum Arisayin is only prohibited in public and not in private. Avab Rishus Rabim Divrei Akol Asur. However, everyone would agree, Meshama Veshila would both agree, that Rishus Rabim it's going to be Asur. Right, so according to the first presentation, the whole machlokes between Beisham Veshila was in Rishus Rabim. Right, Beisham says Asur, Veshila said Mutter, but everybody agreed that Rishus Yachid would be Mutter. Now we're saying, no, that the whole machlokes between Beisham Veshila is only in Rishus Yachid, but in Rishus Rabim, everybody agrees that it's going to be Asur, Mishum Marzayin. Says the Gemara, according to this, Lema, are we to say that Rav de Amar Kebeishamai? Are we going to say that Rav follows the position of Beishamai? The way we're lining up the shitas right now, it comes out that Rav holds like Beishamai. Rav shita that kol makom she'asu chacham mishum marasayin afilu b'chadrei chadarim asur. And so therefore Beishamai says it's not only asur in public, but even in private. So how could it be that Rav holds like Beishamai? Generally speaking, the halacha follows Beis Hillel. And we would assume, of course, that Rav therefore follows shitas Beis Hillel. But according to this alternative view of the Gemara, it comes out that Rav is holding like Beis Shammai. So says the Gemara Tanoi that Beis Hillel's position is really a matter of machlokas among the Tanoim. The Tanya, as we saw, Shotchon Bechama, if a person, again, his clothing becomes soaking wet on Shabbos, Shotchon Bechama, he could spread them out to dry in the sun, Avalo Kenegan Am, but he cannot do this in a public area where a lot of people are going to see. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Osen, Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Shimon say that it is prohibited to do so even in a secluding area. So according to the Gemara, Rav Chanan has the authority to be able to argue on Rav's definition of Beis Hillel because he is basing himself on a Tana, the Tanakama of this Braisa. And therefore, since the Tanakama, the Braisa, argues with the Chumar Rav, so it is possible that he defines Beis Hillel's view just as Rav Chanan Barama, namely the carrying a ladder is prohibited only in public but not in private areas.